This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Here we are. It's bright and early on a Friday morning, December. And Friday morning with a special guest today, Leanne Moll. Hooray! Sia Sangweni.
Oh, yay!
Ben Karpinski. Oh, and for one day only, Damon Calvary.
Yes. Ooh. Shalom, shalom, shalom.
Is that who it is? That's Damon Calvary.
Who did you think it was, Ben?
I thought it was Barry Ronger.
A shame, man. It's a piece of duct tape here that I want to pull, but I know I shouldn't.
No, please don't pull it in case something happens.
What's it connected to?
The entire desk will fall to pieces.
Don't pull it.
Yeah, just don't.
It'll separate us from Gareth.
Yeah, it'll actually break the whole thing apart like the Titanic.
I'm always going to pull things.
You know how the Titanic split in the middle and then both pieces sank? Don't pull it.
It was a piece of duct tape that did it.
Oh, right. Yeah, it probably wasn't the Titanic as well. Oh. Ah, yeah, you get to the end of the week and you can take a big deep breath.
Mm-hmm.
Ben said he was going to arrive this morning and be very hungover, but you don't seem too bad.
I'm hugely hungover, yeah.
Are you?
Yeah. I just wear it kind of well, I guess.
It suits you.
Or you have
this like cherry look about you.
Or still drunk.
That's what it is.
See, there's also that.
Did you go over your standard of two drinks?
Oh, yeah, totally, before darkness. Yeah, we had this, we had our agency sort of end of year function.
And you seem karaoke. This is like your third one now.
There's a lot. A lot of people.
Agency, are you like a spy?
Yes, damn one. Just some light killing, basically. But,
suck a muck of this.
Yeah. That's me.
So, Ben might still be drunk. That's exciting.
Wow.
Yeah. Damon, how's everything going? How have you been?
Yes, very good. Not too bad.
How's the fragrance garden collection?
You know, the economy's quite tough, but we're starting. So we had a bad year. Well, not as good as normal, but it's actually on the up now.
Oh.
The hot. Thank you to the very hot weather.
Yes, because people don't want to be schwitzy and stinky.
Yeah, and people, the air conditioning isn't always working because of the load shedding, so they have to spray more.
Oh, wow.
Is that where you spray your perfume? Under your arms?
I put it under my arms. I know that's not right. I know you're not supposed to.
I put it in the back of my neck.
Oh.
I don't even know if all of that works. I do neck, wrist. And just for the kick of it, I also do upper arms sometimes.
Don't you spray it in the air and then walk through it?
Apparently you're meant to do that.
Right? I feel like that's a waste.
Leanne, how are you meant to do it?
Damon, I hate to say this, but he's right.
Oh, I am?
Really?
especially first thing in the morning, if you don't want to be overpowering early in the morning.
No, because we know some people who are like that.
So then, you know, later
you can
smell
them coming down Rivonia Road.
Later on in the day, spray it onto your forearms, definitely your pulse points there.
Oh, so you have to take it with you.
Oh, well, you don't have a handbag, I suppose.
No, sorry. You only noticed that now after how many years that I don't have a handbag? Sure, you're so observant.
A man bag.
It doesn't last the whole day. And then on your neck, on your jugular.
But is it also true that you shouldn't be able to smell it on yourself? Because then that means it
means it suits your hormones and your body.
Your pheromones.
If you can't smell it.
I just take whatever I can find, so I'm not specific. This is Izimi Yaki Pohom Intense, what I'm wearing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, even
it did smell intense.
Have you become a bit of an expert on this stuff?
Because no, I just know the names and I know the fragrance houses, but the actual smell, I'm completely
clueless. Do you, as a base, use octanol?
No, it's propylene glycol.
Oh.
It's a cosmetic grade ethanol. Mostly.
Ooh, can you drink it?
No, you'll die. You will die. And when I say die, I mean you'll die. I mean literally your pulse will, you know, your heart will stop.
Propylene glycol, not ethylene glycol.
No, propylene glycol, which apparently is carcinogenic.
Yeah.
But in tiny, tiny amounts, they haven't proven anything, but...
Huh.
What it does is it keeps the fragrance on you, and then a certain amount of distilled water. But I actually don't know the proportions, to be honest. I just know that it's mostly the cosmetic grade ethanol.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So do you have good days and bad days as far as manufacturing?
No, we
don't know the proportions.
Like sometimes you buy let's say, I'm not saying from your business in particular, but let's say in a big perfume factory, where things aren't automated. Let's say the guy slips and puts in a bit too much of X or Y. Then there's a bad batch that smells like cocky boys.
Well, the thing is, that's why I got to do all the mixing, because I just can't trust the people, because you make a mistake and it's an expensive mistake.
How do you know if you've mixed it right? Because the quantity's written down?
Because you get the proportions.
Okay, so you use it. You just said you don't know them. So as a base, you've got propylene glycol.
What's
then you've got ethanol. And
you get the oil. You take the oil. Think of Oros when you make a glass of Oros.
Okay.
So you take the oil. And you, for every 100 grams of oil, you put just under 400 milliliters of the ethanol base.
So you mix a big batch, in other words.
No.
400, we're using a beaker about this big then.
I only mix up to 200 grams of oil at a time.
Okay, and then the oil is what contains the fragrances.
Exactly.
So you don't even put together the fragrances.
No. That's sick. I mean, we got almost 1,000 different fragrances.
Yeah, exactly. I thought you had all that in your head. Like you.
Are you out of your mind?
Oh. Like if I asked you to mix up.
I want patchouli oil and a bit of jasmine and no, we don't do all
that. Sia's favorite.
Cinnamon.
Yes.
Which ylang, is it?
Ylang-ylang.
Yeah, there we go. What's it? Ylang-ylang.
It's so nice you say it twice.
Ylang-ylang.
No, I've heard of that. And there's a whole lot of different ingredients. It's actually an amazing industry.
So do you just mix this on the kitchen table? Or?
No. We've got a factory in
the
house.
A proper factory. A whole room.
No, well, it's an old garage that was...
But it's a room.
It's a big garage.
It's like a laboratory.
Well, it's two separate rooms.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
expanding.
Yeah, no, it's impressive. It's all on the premises.
Okay. Wow. And which is your most popular one?
At the moment, the female one, La Vie Est Belle. Mm. We can't get enough of it. That's by Lancôme, I think, yes. It's very, very popular. Mm. But things go through a phase. Like we had a fragrance, Diesel for Men, Diesel Cologne.
Yeah.
Now we hardly ever send it off.
Now no one wants it anymore. Hmm. I wonder how that business is doing, like internationally, because it's a billion dollar
I think
business.
It's still doing extremely well, because I mean if you go to these big pharmacies and you see there,
forget about the big pharmacies, every single duty free shop in every single airport in the world is 95% fragrances, and they're expensive.
I still think it's obviously a very huge industry.
But Damon, have you seen that movie/documentary about the whole industry?
It's called Odor.
Yeah.
And it's a terrible, terrible documentary.
Okay.
Thank you. I agree.
Because it's all a lie.
Did someone have an axe to grind?
No, I think one of my...
I haven't seen it.
One of my competitors, I won't mention their names.
No.
I know who it is.
Yeah, and together with one of the big supermarket chains, just up your street, Twally for Twally.
Checkers.
They financed it because it must have cost a fortune. First of all, the so-called expert that
they've got advertising up everywhere.
Oh my lord, they must have spent a fortune. But I think they've done.
It's only a 10-minute documentary.
12 minutes.
You see the boards and you think, oh my gosh, I want to watch it, but it's going to be 1 hour and 40 minutes. Mm. It's not. It's a quick thing.
Yeah. It's on the tube of the U.
It tries to slate the perfume industry.
Well, for what? For being anti what?
All it's saying is that
for being mean to animals.
It's saying is that the perfume itself doesn't cost much.
Yeah. But that's obvious.
It's the bottle and the packaging and the name.
Sure.
But we know that.
That's the only part of the documentary that's true.
Oh.
Because the packaging and the marketing, like you've got to pay Charlize Theron $20 million to appear. That's the only part of the documentary that's actually true. But for example, they have the so-called expert who gives testimony in the documentary. If you Google him, he doesn't exist.
Oh, really?
He doesn't exist, and they just make all these claims that are completely ridiculous.
Oh.
I'll quickly go over them. Basically, saying that generics are not only as good as the originals, they're better than the originals.
That's not true.
Which is such an insane statement to make. The truth is, there's over 1,000 different fragrances. Some of the generics are exactly the same as the originals, but a lot of them are only very similar, and one or two or three or a couple are not the same at all.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. And the fact is, but
if you're buying the labeled product, what you're really doing is buying consistency.
You're buying the bottle. You know, it's if you think of it like a collector, you're not going to just buy the stuff in plastic jars and keep it in your garage. Yeah, you want the bottle. Exactly. You want the name.
The experience.
Look, look, you're paying less than 10% of the originals, and it's a generic. It's nice.
If you want to save money, get the generic. If you don't want to save money and you want to collect the bottle and you want to have the actual item, then you buy the.
So the biggest fault and problem with the documentary is that it raises unrealistic expectations from the by the consumer. Completely unrealistic expectations. So now and again, I'll get some Kugel from Santon who's never bought a generic in her life, and she has these huge high expectations. She wants her fragrance to be 100% exactly the same without and it's not always going to happen.
Tim, what kind of marketing do you do? Do you rely on like word of mouth? How do you advertise to such a woman?
Well, funny you should say that. We've just initially we just did like Google AdWords, but now we've got a partner who's joined us because he's like very very online. He's online savvy, and he's doing major internet optimization and all these. He's only been doing it for a week, and we already got like
search engine optimization.
Well, whatever. Jesus. That's just
How much money have we wasted on that? I don't know if you want to do that.
No. He's a partner. We have.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Yeah. We give him lunch, and he's allowed to smoke in the house.
That's a good deal.
Do you have Facebook Pixels, for instance?
I don't even know what that is.
All right, well, it's a politics-free Friday this
fragrance
morning.
FragranceGoneCollection.co.za.
All right, okay. Wow. We've spent about 10 minutes talking about
it. I never thought that was going to happen.
And now Dave's going to go home.
I was curious, genuinely curious about what's going on there. So, how's your daughter?
Sure. No, she's they want to pump her full of Ritalin.
Oh, they're saying she's got ADHD?
Yeah. No, she does. I mean, since...
I wonder where she got that from.
Well, that's the problem. Like,
she does.
ADAA.
We had a meeting back in June, July with the principal of the school and the teacher and the speech. And
is she a problem child?
So Bernice and I, we sit down. No, they have meetings all the time.
Oh.
So they tell us that your daughter's got ADD, this and that. The drive home after that meeting, I was cucked on. Bernice says, you know, when they were talking about Alexa, they were talking about you at the same time. So she's inherited all my problems.
But of course, if she was given a stellar report, Bernice would have claimed all of that was her.
But
probably.
We did kind of warn you, Damon. We said to you, you should never breed.
No. She's a lovely child.
She looks lovely.
And the thing
is... I'm sure she is, but the point is you didn't listen.
No, but what she's got going... I think she's going to be a very attractive adult, and the world is much nicer to attractive people. So she's got that going for her.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Even at this age, people comment, oh, what a good-looking girl, what a good-looking girl.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah.
It's just because it's compared to you.
No, funnily enough, when I was a child, people said the same thing.
You're a good-looking girl.
You just got to watch your eating.
You're a good
look. You can't let yourself go.
Damon, I'll stand up for you. I've seen baby pictures of you. Yes.
Exactly.
Funny you mentioned these teachers and things. So I went to my old primary school last week for their valediction.
Lansdowne, what was it?
No, this is the one up here. And I saw one of my teachers there who... she wasn't my favorite teacher by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, I think I was quite a difficult pupil for her. But my sister was terrible, and she also went through her.
Oh.
This teacher had burnt my sister from her memory.
Oh, wow.
Really? Is that traumatic?
She'd completely expunged my sister's memory, because she says to me, yeah, I remember you, and I remember your brother. And I go, mm-hmm, I'm waiting for her to say, and your sister, and she like moves straight on to the next point.
Yeah, but I think teachers lose their minds over the years.
Teachers, I think everybody loses their
minds. No, I think teachers is the one profession where they do start going crazy. After you've been teaching for over 20 years, you start losing it.
Really?
Because, I think...
Well, other people's children.
No, you keep on seeing people going through your system, and then you just stay there. But you see someone that you taught in 1976 is now doing a radio show. And I think you start going... like a bit mad. It's like a cycle. You see like the Lion King over and over again.
Or
the circle of
life. Do you have to be a bit mad to become a teacher?
Yeah, that's probably true.
Well, what came first?
I mean, there are I've always said two very distinct kinds of teachers. They're almost like two species. The first kind of species of teachers, but those very rare people who are gifted in teaching. They particularly love teaching children and giving them an interest in a subject and information, and they're passionate about it and all of that. And then you get those ones who are just really people who either didn't have enough to do and didn't have enough options, or they wanted to relive.
Like that water polo coach at Parktown Boys.
Yeah, they wanted to relive high school over and over again, and that was their glory day. And you
know. Some of them were bullied at school and weren't popular.
That guy's gone to jail, by the way, that Parktown
Boys. Yeah.
Yeah, sentence.
For a long time, for like 20 years.
23, I think. Mm.
But I think they also need to look at the school system. I think
Leanne was saying something.
Sorry, Leanne.
Yeah, I think a lot of these teachers. I'm generalizing. Please don't. Yeah, you know, disclaimer. But I think a lot of these teachers were bullied at school or weren't popular, and they've come back so that they can be in a position of power in their territory.
Yeah. Right. That's it.
And so my mom was on a plane with a teacher the once, and they got chatting. And I was having problems in particular with one teacher who couldn't stand me for some reason. And I'm always very sensitive to people who can't stand me. I'm sensitive about that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if I haven't done anything to, you know, warrant that. And she said to her, "Is your daughter of above intelligence? And is she pretty?" And I was all those things. And she said, "Well, she's a threat to her. It's like the cool kid at school."
Oh, wow. So she admitted it.
Yeah.
Some very, very dangerous people out there who just keep it very quiet.
Yeah.
But they're actually shits.
I checked down an old teacher on Facebook.
Oh, yeah?
Who was horrible, horrible. And I almost sent him a message, but I thought, no, then I'm creepy.
What did you want to say?
I wanted to say to him, "I hope you're still not a teacher anymore because you are awful."
Oh.
But I stopped myself.
What did the teacher do to you?
Oh, you know, there's just incidences, is that the word?
Yes.
That you just, that stay with you for the rest of your life. You never forget it. And you have to like talk to a psychologist about it.
On this matter, you have to listen to Timothy Maurice's latest episode of the Brain and Brand Show. He actually discusses an incident with his father
that he hasn't forgotten.
Yeah.
And why his father won't let him cut his hair.
You've got to listen to this. It's beautiful. And by the end of it, you probably will shed a tear. It's that beautiful.
Can I quickly tell you my story? So he was a cricket coach. So he's the umpire and I'm bowling. And I was bowling really badly. And he would say to the captain of my team, "Take him off. Take him off," as in he mustn't bowl anymore. But no, actually take him off.
Oh, not like take him to Auschwitz.
No, take him. Hang on. Take him off the field completely, actually.
Oh, God.
And you don't forget things like that.
No, because it hurts your feelings.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
It's so weird of me to still be thinking about it. It's ridiculous.
No, but it does stay with you.
But I actually, and it's so weird, 40 years later, I regret not walking off the field and walking home. That's what I should have done.
Yeah, but you always...
I should have walked home.
I can't believe you still woulda, coulda, shoulda about something 40 years
ago. It's sick. It's pathetic.
Yeah.
Well, that's what keeps psychologists in business.
Well, true. True. But that's why the other day we were discussing bullying on the show and my experiences of bullying. And part of the reason why I just want to move past it and don't care to talk about it or try to get help or want to confront the bullies is because of what if... that moment, which means so much to you, was nothing to the other person.
Well, it was nothing.
What if it wasn't their intention to hurt you? Mm. What if they didn't, you know?
What if they didn't think about you as much as you thought?
And you're holding on to something that was nothing.
Probably a bit of both, maybe.
And yeah, I think Sia unburdened himself on, what was it, Tuesday? You can go listen to that if you want to. It was actually quite interesting because I think there are a lot of people who have that, and Damon's bringing up a similar situation now where... These tiny incidents that happen in your formative years or when you're very impressionable, when you're going through puberty, you know, it's all those things where you're trying to find yourself, trying to find your place in the world. Mm. And someone will say something or do something that sets you off.
And you might remember it forever, but you approach the person later on and they're like, "What?"
They go, "What? I don't remember that.
Yeah, it wasn't important to me."
Yeah, I do remember there was this one kid we were pretty horrible to. Primary school.
You were a bully, hey?
Yeah.
Don't you feel bad? Do you feel bad about it?
When I think of him, I do, but I don't think of him much.
What did you
there
do?
There you go. He's a bully.
He's thinking of you.
He probably is. I mean, yeah. We might have ruined his life, you know?
Yeah.
We might have turned him into an introvert where he was an extrovert or vice versa.
You lost the listener.
And every listener is important.
You need every listener, Gareth.
What did you do to the kid?
You weren't thinking ahead.
We just...
Or they do listen.
It was a group of four of us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we were gang.
Just, Yeah, we were like a gang, and we thought we were in charge
like
of everything.
Like the We Walk Straight gang.
Right, that's like your old gang.
If you don't get out the way, we'll kick you out the way.
That's right.
You could have torn a hamstring doing that, but anyway.
So yeah, we just were mean. We were mean people. We were like the mean boys, like you had mean girls. Mean boy.
I've seen your ID picture when you were 18 in your ID book, and I'm sorry to say, you actually look mean in that photo.
Thanks very much.
You actually look nasty. I'm serious. In fact, I think you should take a photo of it and tweet it later.
Yeah, you look
You'll
like
see
someone,
I'm right.
You look like someone that can't be left alone with small animals or a lighter.
No, he looks nasty.
Oh,
And there he sits laughing evilly in a corner.
You really think I look mean?
You looked, I'm telling you. Go, look at your ID later and you'll see I'm right.
I look mean. That's hilarious.
No. You look like you just shoved somebody into a bin. Upside down and pulled their pants and gave them
Speaking
a wedgie.
Which, and laughed. I mean, I know we said laughed. This is No Politics Friday, but you know what they're doing in Ukraine? And it maybe plays into No Politics Friday. They're actually taking politicians as they come out of parliament and dumping them into dumpsters.
No.
They're picking up their politicians and throwing them into dumpsters and then taking pictures of them in the dumpster.
For what reason?
Because they're all corrupt.
Justice, yeah. Street
they're all
justice.
Corrupt.
Are they corrupt?
Yeah, they are. I mean, the Ukrainian parliament's...
I'm horrific. Confused. Haven't they been invaded by Russia and Russia?
Yeah, well...
I'm so confused.
There's so much fake news around.
Exactly.
I'm assuming this is like a trend that's going on.
Yeah,
it's not like an official thing.
No, it's
like,
in the last 3 weeks or so. They've just suddenly... There's just a crowd of people outside parliament. And if you walk out there and you're an MP... You've seen the videos?
Footage.
And is that and are these parliamentarians playing along with it?
No, they've usually in the first couple of days.
Leave me alone.
Yeah, in the first couple of days they were surprised and quite horrified. And now they're a bit wiser to it, so it goes through the back doors and they leave by Uber.
Golly.
They're calling it a crisis in the Ukraine.
Yeah, well, I can't imagine why our politicians don't deserve that. And that's the only bit of politics I want to talk today, but,
yeah, but then
just an idea that occurred.
Yeah, but then there'll be like there'll be corrupt tenders regarding the bins. It'll be lead on.
Yeah, there will be. There'll be tenders. There'll be more corruption.
Yes,
less.
That's so funny.
There'll be extra bins outside Parliament.
All right, here's Nicolette. She says, "Hey Gareth, thanks for the entertainment and the content. I live in Durban. There's absolute cuck playing anywhere here, so I'm really grateful for what you guys are doing. Just an idea, since your app is open on my phone most of the day, it would be really great if there was a contact link where I could send text or voice notes directly off the app to you or someone else of your choice. Just an idea."
She sounds very needy.
Yeah, but Nicolette, you know what?
Just agree.
It'll be like, we'll be talking, then you'll just hear Nicolette going, "I think so too." But what about the politics? Like a WhatsApp voice message.
Yeah, all right, Nicolette, let's try that. Let's see how that goes. Anyway, she says, "Have a great day." And by the way, she says, "Gord is funny as hell. I love everybody there." Okay, that's very nice. And then there's a long email, which we'll get to later. It's quite... yeah, it's difficult.
How long do you think it took to write that?
Kelly, she probably took a day.
Some people write very quickly.
Yeah. All right, so here's Sean says, "I had a teacher in Standard 2, which was 4th grade. The teacher overheard me telling my friends I found her class boring. From there on, she would call me Mr. Boring. Now, it sounds benign, but it was traumatic. I was in tears every night. This carried on for close to a year. That bitch."
Oh, my God.
Shame, Sean. That's horrible. "I'm a fan of No Politics Friday, but yesterday's Burning Platform with John Flismas was the most entertaining and informative Burning Platform I've ever listened to. He should have come around more on a Thursday." That's from MASH. Well, it was hilarious because we didn't know. So Sia booked John Flismas for the Burning Platform about two weeks ago.
So bad.
And then he decided he was going to get Simi Aref to come in. And apparently John doesn't like Simi, or Simi doesn't like John.
Both
because,
ways.
Because Simi said a while ago that John was like a gatekeeper of comedy. And John took umbrage to this. So while we were sitting with Simi talking nonsense, John's sitting outside going, stop talking shit. And like, fuck you. And he's got getting all angry outside here. And I mean, John's, you know, in a funny way, because he's not actually an angry person. Anyway, he comes in for the Burning Platform and we talk about all the stuff.
And Simi's still there.
And Simi's sitting where you are and John's sitting where Leanne is.
It's opposite sides.
Sounds very awkward.
But they're checking each other out and there's this funny energy between them. And I kind of pick up on that. And then John says something about, I would love to have an opinion on that, but I'm a gatekeeper. And then Simi kind of sits back. And John sits forward. And like Simi goes, oh, I didn't mean it that way. So I said, explain yourselves. So apparently what happened was Simi, either in his podcast or in his stand-up shows or at some social function, said that John is like a godfather, like a gatekeeper of comedy.
He actually is, and that's not a bad thing. Yeah. That's not a bad thing.
So John's point was you have to build the gate if you want to be the gatekeeper, because there was no gate before I arrived, which is the point. I mean, John kind of did.
That's a good point.
So anyway, so and it just sounded like, I mean, at the end of it, it was I felt bad for John, because
do they hug at the end?
No, it was still tense.
We didn't even take a picture, all posed together.
They didn't like hate each other, but we didn't want to.
Photographer's nightmare.
Sia said he didn't want to force them to stand in a picture together. Yeah.
This is why I feel bad, because I don't want them to think we knew about this and we wanted to make a moment out of it. You know?
Oh,
you see, and I still haven't reached out. I decided yesterday, let's let the dust settle. Really, I honestly feel.
But you think they think that?
No,
you never know what people might think. But
well, you explained it to John.
Yeah, I think I should give each person a call today.
How do you know they don't believe you? What makes you think they don't believe you?
Hey, Damon, I just have to, you know.
You've got to trust your gut.
He's just thinking of
every aspect, every scenario. Yeah.
All right. Because if I was in that position, I would think that.
Five things you need to know this morning. Here are some news stories. An estimated 500 shacks have been destroyed in Alex.
Oy vey.
Yeah, after a fire ripped through the informal settlement. Oy. This is awful.
Do they know how it started?
It's understood the blaze broke out at 4 p.m. on Thursday afternoon. They're not yet clear on what sparked the fire.
Oy.
You know, it could be a person. It could be an electrical problem. It could be one of those paraffin stoves.
No, you see, but in winter, it's often the paraffin fires.
But I mean, a lot of people are cooking on those paraffin stoves anyway.
Of course.
Do you remember those Arizona fires last year?
Yes.
I read just yesterday, I didn't know this before, it's obviously old news, but that it was started by a gender reveal party. From a blue balloon spark thingy.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
What?
I'm sure that wasn't the case in the
humans.
In this scenario.
But I feel so sorry for these scores of families who've been left homeless. Residents were throwing buckets of water over what was left of their homes to try and douse the flames. Poles holding up illegal electrical lines were also caught fire. No live wires fell to the ground, thank God, because then that lands in the water and everybody gets electrocuted. An explosion sent a shockwave through the informal settlement just meters away from a pylon, but no one was injured. And that's horrible, right?
So no injuries, no fatalities at least.
No, but lots of people left homeless. Oy. Tiger Brands have reopened their meat plant since the Listeria outbreak. You remember that with the polony?
Has it been closed the whole time?
Yeah.
But aren't they being taken to court now?
Yes, there's a class action lawsuit.
Well, like what, 32 people passed away? I can't remember.
Richard Spur, I think, from... ex of Spur and Fisher attorneys. He's the one who's spearheading this. So the authorities have given Tiger Brands permission to reopen a factory that was closed after the biggest listeria outbreak in the world, which was traced to that facility. And remember, that was when people were buying polony and the stuff was full of listeriosis.
Mm-hmm.
The resumption of operations at the factory in Polokwane comes nearly 2 months after the company received a go-ahead to restart production at another factory in Germiston. So we'll have to see what happens there. But stay away from polony. Just do everyone a favor. I know it's probably cheap, but it's
a processed meat.
Horrible.
You should have minimal of it anyway.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, but it's the staple diet of a large amount of people.
Here, Guillermo says, please don't bring Damon back again. How's that for a welcome?
Is that Guillermo del Toro?
Yes.
The famous film director. He's always pestering me ever since I snubbed him at that... award ceremony.
Residents of the Cape Metropole, Overberg and southwestern Wynand should prepare for heavy rains and possible flooding overnight.
Apparently started last night.
The wet weather's expected to hit last night and will continue until Friday morning. The warning was issued on Thursday afternoon. It comes after days of unseasonably cool weather and scattered thundershowers. This Cape Town, they can't make their mind up whether they want drought or they want floods.
Shame.
There's no in between.
No.
Shame.
And apparently there are also severe thunderstorms forecast for the southern parts of Harry Gwala and Ugu. I don't know where that is, but it's in KZN somewhere.
It's near Pietermaritzburg.
Ugu.
It's near the Harry Gwala municipality.
Where's
that's around.
Ugu?
It's around Pietermaritzburg. I don't know the Ugu part, but the Harry Gwala part is near Pietermaritzburg.
Sounds like when I was learning my Zulu phonetic stuff, which was umu aba u or umu imi ili ama isi izi in is in ulu is in ubu ugu.
Exactly.
It ends on ugu.
Wow. Sounds like you kind have of a important
stroke.
Sure, it does. It sounds like you're having a terrible problem there. Okay, and then KZN's, wow, this is quite something. Four South African women employed as crew for MSC cruises.
Cocaina.
Have been arrested for allegedly smuggling cocaine into Miami in the US. How's that, huh?
They've been doing it for months, apparently.
According to a report in the Miami Herald, US Customs and Border found six crew members with 7 kilograms of cocaine.
That's a lot.
That'll last quite a while.
Shame, the one cabin person, it was their first time they were doing it, but the others have been doing it for months.
Oh, it's always those.
But it's so. But think about it. It's so tempting. Think about it. You're going to Miami all the time.
Sure.
You're not being checked.
I'm making extra buck here.
You're not earning a fortune.
Good point.
You're having to deal with horrible people, horrible foreigners on the ship.
Yeah, and
they put you down at the bottom in the hold, all sweaty.
You should know that the chances of being happy and living a good life if you are smuggling drugs in some countries, it's really not a good idea. They will lock you away for life. Okay, yep. Not a good idea.
They could get 10 years to life, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. So, their names are Londiwe Shange, Wandile Mhlongo, and Tembega Sokulu, who are all from Durban. Also, Viwe Tsaga, who's 23, from Lusikisiki in the Eastern Cape. They had drugs stowed away in their cabins.
Yeah.
Told investigators they'd earned around $2,000 for every drug run made over the past few months. And Tsaga said it was her first run.
Sure, is that almost like 40,000 runs?
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. Very tempting.
Yeah.
Very tempting.
10 years life and life imprisonment, and Sakula's attorney, Roger De Jesus Cabrera.
Yep. De Jesus.
Yeah, apparently he's a very good lawyer.
Roger De Jesus Cabrera says if they're found guilty, they could be in a lot of trouble.
Well, that's pretty obvious, Jesus.
Jesus, that's obvious. Between April and September, 7 South Africans have been arrested for smuggling drugs overseas. Did you know that?
That's a big thing.
And then this is kind of scary. If you go to these fancy hotels, right? You don't think about it, but at the Hilton Hotel in Chicago, this Chicago woman is suing the Hilton Group worldwide for $100 million.
What?
Saying that she was filmed naked in the shower by a hidden camera.
Oh.
While a hotel guest in footage uploaded with her name onto multiple porn sites.
Yes, I would.
Unnamed plaintiff sued the hotel giant for negligence, citing severe and permanent psychological injuries. Mental anguish, emotional distress, and other damages, such as medical expenses and the loss of earnings.
Oh, no, she has a great lawyer.
No shame. It's a terrible thing, but it's not worth $100 million.
Yeah. Even the best porn stars don't get that. A woman was a guest at the Hampton Inn and Suites Hotel. It's not even
I'm never going there.
I mean, not even 100 people would recognize her or be watching porn and recognize her.
Because it's always a top angle shot from what I hear. And you don't even always see their faces.
Bit of steam.
There's water all splashing all over the place. The camera's not exactly moving.
Ooh, that's a good lawyer, though. How do you put a price to mental anguish?
Here's what it is: she was at that hotel in Albany, which is upstate New York, in 2015, while she was taking a bar exam after graduating from law school. So she could have been a great lawyer, but then she was recorded fully nude while taking a shower by a hidden video camera.
It's not like she was doing anything, you know. She wasn't snorting coke and
she was just
had a bunch of male strippers in there with her.
She was blissfully ignorant until September 2018, more than 3 years later, when she received an email saying, "This is you, right?" With a link to the video on a porn site.
That's creepy.
The same person claiming, "I'm a perv," then sent multiple threatening emails professing to know where she went to university and where she worked.
That's a sicko, eh?
The extortionist then demanded...
Oh, there's an extortionist.
Immediate hush payment of $2,000, followed by $1,000 a month for a year.
Did they arrest this extortionist?
Well, I'm getting there.
See, but now $100 million sounds okay, because now she's being threatened
by someone.
You see, that makes sense. Sorry, Ark, I want immediate gratification.
You want immediate justice is what you want. So, no, there's no word on whether or not they've managed to find the extortionist, but the hotel group has claimed... they're very, very sorry. They said they were shocked and stunned to learn of the allegations, saying no recording devices of any kind have ever been discovered on the property. So what must have happened? I mean, how do you do that? Because you have to be very sneaky.
It's probably somebody who worked in the hotel at the time.
Like, or maintenance.
Exactly. And he puts a little thingy, a camera in, and
Or possibly even a guest.
When you go to a hotel, do you ever check if there's a camera, a hidden camera in the bathroom or something? I don't.
That's what James Bond
used to do. I sometimes wonder.
James Bond always used to go into a hotel room,
do a sweep,
and there would be like some pipe music in the background, and then he would do a sweep of the hotel.
Mm.
But that was the 60s.
All right, well, it's time for Ben to give us some sport. Let me just check in on Bitcoin, $3,404, and Ethereum at $85.05. Gee, wow, are those worthless or what? Good heavens, they are such worthless rubbish.
I never understood that.
Right, well, you're lucky. How lucky for you. Ben, go ahead. What do you got for us?
All right, Gareth, it's the SA Open Golf, and Louis Oosthuizen's doing really well. It's the Cape Town 7th this weekend, and the final run towards the playoffs of the Mzansi Super League.
Okay. By the way, I've got this here. Rob says we need more of Damon F. Guillermo. Okay.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Exactly.
Over you, Ben. What do you got for us?
Right. So it is the SA Open, or it's the Joburg SA Open, however you really want to spin it. Unfortunately, the Joburg Open had to fall away in order for the SA Open to stay. We all know that long story. But let's look at the positives. Great conditions for scoring at the moment, and Louis has 9-62. So it's played over both the Firethorn and the Bushwiller courses of Rand Park Golf Club. And you can go watch it. Yeah. Open to the public, Gareth.
Are you going, Ben?
Yeah. I think I'll go on Sunday.
Do you walk along with a player or do you sit at a green?
That's the beauty of watching golf live, Damon. You can do either one.
So what do you like to do?
Well, it depends who's playing. It depends on the golf course, obviously. So Rand Park's a pretty easy one to go and walk. It's quite good for viewing. So if you do have a nice spot, you want to sit under the shade and have a few beers, go ahead. Or you can follow various players. Now, Louis Oosthuizen, massive name. All the big SA guys have come back for this. So Brandon Gray, Charles Spotsall, Ernie Els is even doing quite well. He's 5-under. He's 4 back. So you can watch that all weekend in Randburg. Randburg, you finally get something. Hooray. It was the Mzansi Super League final run towards the playoffs.
That's the first time anyone's even mentioned Randburg in a positive context.
I know. There it is. It's the European Tour Randburg tri-sanctioned event. So every team in the Mzansi Super League plays 10 matches.
Mm-hmm.
After that, the top team gets the home final. 2-3 in the playoff to then play against the top team in that final. Cape Town Blitz currently on top. They've played 8 matches, 25 points. They're looking good, but they have had a recent dip in form. The Nelson Mandela Bay Giants, they are 2nd on 21 points. Their last game was rained out against the Durban Heat. And then the Jersey Stars, who are looking like the hottest team right now form-wise, they've played 7 for their 20 points. Post that, well, I think it's just they've already separated the men from the boys. The Paul Rocks, they started off all right. They've had a bit of a shit run since then. But they are on 13 points. And from there, Swanee Spartans on 10. And then Durban Heat, well, how did it go wrong for Durban Heat? It's a pretty good side, but they've only got 6 points after their 7 matches. So they're completely out of it.
Huh.
This weekend, this is what we've got to look forward to. The Durban Heat versus the Jersey Stars. The Jersey Stars are going to get some good points there in Durban. Weather permitting, because that's how cricket happens in Durban. It always rains. Always rains.
Yeah.
It rains the whole time. So Durban Heat, Jersey Stars. That's your big game today at 2 o'clock. And then the Cape Town Blitz will be hosting the Paul Rocks in a Cape Derby. So if you're down for the sevens, then how about go through to Newlands, watch this, and then get the sevens as of tomorrow. We'll get that in a second. And then more from the Giants versus the Spartans on Saturday, along with the Jersey Stars versus the Paul Rocks. And then Sunday's match. That is Sunday's match. Jersey Stars versus Paul Rocks and Cape Town Blitz versus Durban Heat. Now onto the sevens. It is, well, the Blitzbox had a tough time in Dubai last week. Normally they're very good at that event, but they didn't go so well. So this week they are pooled in a very, very tough pool. They've got New Zealand and Samoa.
Huh.
Now Samoa, you might say, haven't done much in this thing, but they are real dark horses. And they're also gigantic men. Just huge, huge men with huge thighs. And they're pretty handy in space. New Zealand, of course, won last week, and
we did a little comparison the other day between countries, and Samoa came up as the world's country with the largest BMI, body mass index, of all countries.
Oh, yes.
Well, they're either hugely muscular or massively obese.
Yeah.
But they also do a lot of their running in water, so that's why they get big thighs.
Wow.
A lot of mud there.
Okay.
Or ocean.
Ocean and mud.
Ocean and mud.
That's the key. If you've got... You got thin, weedy thighs, you need to move to Samoa and run through the ocean in the mud.
Yeah. So Zimbabwe, of course, part of that group, and they will get absolutely hammered by everyone. So from tomorrow, the Cape Town Sevens, it is the greatest sevens event on the entire world circuit. That's not just me saying it. That's what the world circuit says. They have votes and polls and things, and Cape Town always comes out on top. There's also big football this weekend. It's the Telkom Knockout Cup final. So Baroka FC will be taking on Orlando Pirates at the Nelson Mandela Bay Stadium. What a time to be in PE. It really is. You've got Mzansi Super League, the Telkom Knockout. Wow. Very, okay. Very exciting.
A lot of sport going on.
There is, Cameron. There is a lot of sport. In the English Premier League, there was a big match midweek with Man United and Arsenal. That finished 2-2. But now the big teams get to go at it again. So Bournemouth will be taking on Liverpool at 2:30. Liverpool still unbeaten in the league. Will it happen against Bournemouth? No, they're pretty crap. They'll carry it on. Cardiff versus Southampton. Arsenal versus Huddersfield. West Ham versus Crystal. Man United will be taking on Fulham. Burnley versus Brighton. Chelsea versus Man City. There's your big one. And that is Saturday at 7:30 at night. So after all the Cape Town Sevens and the SA Open. Just such a good mixture of sport. You can watch it all. And then Leicester versus Spurs. And then on Sunday, we've got Everton versus Watford, if you're into that.
Very good.
Now, the Proteas have announced their test squad to play against Pakistan. First test will be on 26th of November at Centurion. And then the second test will be at Newlands, the New Year's test, January. And the Wanderers from 11th of January. So those are the matches you can look out for. Mm-hmm. Now, the new cap is Zubair Hamza.
Who?
Zubair Hamza. People say, who is he? But he's actually very good. He's got a great domestic record. And that's your big proving grounds. I mean, the guy had an outstanding season in the four-day franchise. He was averaging 69.
Sure.
Yeah. Had nothing to do with four-play or anything. It's just that he was so good. He was averaging 69 with the bat.
It's very impressive.
Including 3 centuries and 823 runs. So that is the team.
Did they dump anybody? Did they drop anybody?
Well, dead money in sport, there's always winners and losers. So Faf's in. Hashim Amla's still there. Teba Bavuma, Tennis De Bruyne. Now, Tennis is good. Mm-hmm. Tennis is strong. Quinton Ocock, Dean Olgar, Hamza, as I said. And then Maharaj Markram, Dwayne Ulafiri is back. Werner Philander, Kakisa Rabada, and Dale Steyn. So there's no Andile Petrocquio. But I think that's a pretty good squad. This is as good as it can be. Of course, no Ebi Davilis because he's making his room of bar outside of cricket.
What's he doing again?
He's just being a dad. Okay. And he's also being rich. It's hard to be rich. You've got to really dedicate yourself to that. I mean, he's just making T20 money.
Sure.
He's living the dream. In cricket currently on, well, India, they got 250 in their first innings. Because, you know, this is the big test for India. Like, they go to this Australia's whole series. They can actually beat them this time around because Australia are still reeling from that whole sandpaper debacle. They don't have those three players who are still banned. But Australia actually did pretty well. They bowled India up for 250 and they're currently 117 for 4. Peter Hanscombe, he's now the rock of the team, which about a year ago you never said that, and together with Travis Head right now at the crease. So
are they playing in India or in Australia?
In Australia, Damon. Yeah.
Oh, that's the difference.
In
okay.
Adelaide, yeah. That's why it's so early. So they'll be playing all weekend too. That's pretty much it for all the sport. Of course, the golf is the big deal. Watch that over the weekend. There's been plenty of Super League and then so much football. All right. There's anything else, well,
you'll give it to us.
Enjoy it.
Is this some Mzansi League? Is it taken off? Is it popular? Are people going for it?
Damon, the numbers are pretty good TV-wise because obviously it's on SABC. So it's the first time that sort of mass broadcasting sports of a decent event, of a decent caliber. I went to a match actually on Tuesday in Cape Town. It was lots of fun. It's great watching that.
A lot of people in the stadium?
It was a bitterly cold evening. I would say there was probably about 5,000, 6,000 people.
Okay.
So no, it hasn't had a great sort of uptake from the public who are going to the actual games. But it's doing quite well on TV. It's getting good online views around the world. First year though, so I think rather than bitch, people should just be more about giving it a try, getting into it.
Mm.
Well, thank you, Ben. Do you know that A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens is 175 years old today?
Wow.
What is it?
Last Christmas.
There was a story about Scrooge and Christmas past and Christmas present and Christmas future.
Oh, this very nice animated movie coming out. Or is it out already?
Don't you remember we get visited 175 years since A Christmas Carol.
Hmm.
Isn't that good?
Hmm.
Stood the test of time.
Sure.
People are still reading that to their kids and various...
But still no money for his family because it's been so long.
Well, I don't know if his family is still around.
No. No, apparently you only get royalties.
Yeah,
the cutoff
50
is
years
50 years after the original person has passed away, that's it.
Then it becomes public property. It becomes like a classic.
The Carrolls.
I mean, Shakespeare's family, if there are any descendants, are certainly not making money out of his books anymore.
Yeah, so the Carrolls aren't rolling it, and neither are the Shakespeare's.
The Dickenses.
Sorry, the Dickenses.
The Carrolls.
The Carrolls are a different story. Still making tons of money. All right. I don't know if you've heard this, Damon. I want to have your opinion because you're a bit of an aficionado when it comes to songs. This is Sia's song.
No, I'm clueless. I'm clueless.
Yeah, listen, do you want to hear Sia's song? Oh. The song that he actually did? Performed?
Oh, you performed it?
I recorded this. He performed it. And I wrote it. It's an original.
It's an original song.
Damon.
Never do your own song.
What was that reaction?
They always say that in idols and whatever. Don't do your own material.
It started on the day I never felt this way. I saw you standing there and I thought, my, you were the one for me. I was the one for you. My heart was never the same.
You know, compared to the crap that I hear on the radio these days, that's actually not so bad. The actual tune, the actual rhythm, the actual beat is not bad. But your singing voice, very bad.
Once again, just mixed reviews.
It sounds like you were off mic. It sounds like you were singing from somebody's uterus.
Wow. Mixed reviews once again, but...
Talk about things that stay with one forever.
I found I'm embarrassed to admit this, but I found myself like humming it yesterday.
It's true. It's you.
I know. Guys,
it's all about marketing. That is not much worse than some of the stuff you hear on the radio these days.
And the church I'm telling said you. Amen. I know.
I'm telling you.
This could really be.
See, I could be objective.
This could at least be 93 on the Billboard.
No. It needs to be redone completely. They need to get a different singer. And it needs to get remastered.
Well,
it wouldn't be that bad.
Before we get to Said by Sia, or maybe by introduction of Said by Sia, one of my favorite things to follow on the internets is humanprogress.org. They publish all this stuff about how good it really is to be alive right now.
And we are progressing.
Yes, and how we're getting somewhere as a bunch of apes. We're making it. We're doing all right as apes. So here they said, humanity is 300,000 years old. By most estimates. The age of abundance is 200 years old. That's 0.07% of our species time on Earth. Is it any wonder that we're predisposed towards pessimism? You can read all about the roots of pessimism by going to humanprogress.org. Things are getting better, so why are we all so gloomy? This is kind of what Adrian Gore spoke about not so long ago at the Discovery Conference. And I think it's very, very interesting. Like we're really bad at being able to assess whether things are good or bad because we're predisposed to pessimism. And bad news gets priority for us. Good news gets pushed down the list in our conscious and our subconscious brains because we like to have things that we can fight or fly from, right? Those are the things we're used to growing up in jungles and in the savannah where things want to kill us, other people want to kill us, things are going to eat us. So we're used to danger being a priority. So now, when things are good, we're not able to see that things are good.
And well, the unused adrenaline,
yes,
gets turned into ultimately anxiety,
yes. Which Look gets how anxious turned. You are you knocking over things?
Which gets turned into depression.
Yes.
Am I the only one who's thinking about premature ejaculation as well? Not just depression.
You are the only one, but explain,
am I the only one?
Explain what? How?
No, because it's in your subconscious. So you're having sex and you can't have a long, enjoyable, relaxed sexual session because you're about to get eaten by a wild animal. So you've got to finish quickly.
That's
why it takes lions about 3
you know
seconds
that?
To mate.
Didn't you know that, Kev? You never thought about that, Gareth?
I just thought about it now. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense. That's good. All right, okay. Sia, what do you got for us this morning? Said by Sia. We've already heard sung by Sia. Now it's said by Sia time. What do you have? Come on.
Get ready to go. Aww. When a cancer-stricken farmer can't go outside, his neighbors completed his weeks of work in just a few hours. Greg Bishop is a farmer from Texas in the United States, and according to his community, he's never one to ask for favors, but he's actually always the first to offer them, which is why so many in his community banded up together to help him recently. So they heard that Greg Bishop was having debilitating effects from chemotherapy treatment, and because of his weak immune system, his doctor had actually ordered him to stay indoors. But if you're a farmer in the States, you know that this time is the time for harvesting your crops, and Greg Bishop owns land which spans 450 acres, so it really wasn't the best of times for him. So that's when his community decided to do something about it. Dozens of people came out to lend their support, so many that there were some that were actually turned away because there were too many people who had volunteered. A local restaurant in the area provided some food on the day. Some companies banded together to provide the likes of free fuel and funding for the occasion. And within 5 hours, the volunteers had processed more than 1,200 bales of cotton, which is worth almost $500,000. And if Greg had done this himself, it would have taken him weeks. But, you know, the community had done it in 5 hours. And when they were asked why they were so readily offering their help, they say that because Greg is just a good-hearted man. He's very humble and he's just the best person. All together now. Oh, I just think this is so sweet. That's your Sid Basia for this morning.
All right. Thank you, Sid. Very nice.
Good story.
A nice story.
Good story.
All right. Okay, it's a Friday morning. We've got lots of things to do. We've got plenty to talk about, and we want to have your calls. 0861-555-189. Spongile is there to take your calls. And is she there?
Not yet.
I don't see her. I just looked.
Maybe she's under the table looking for something.
Maybe she's under the table. You never know, right? But if she isn't, then we'll find someone else to take your calls. Don't panic about that.
Take it cold.
You can message us. Yeah, we can take it cold. Morning, guys. I walked past Sia at our offices in Bright Rock yesterday. He mentioned Celine Dion. I was just thinking, please, please don't sing. But I must say, his jam is not bad at all. I got a good feeling from it. It's a good melody.
That sounds like me. Yeah.
That's from MASH.
Did Sia, did you meet the Oprah? Because she was here recently?
Yes,
you're still a big Oprah person?
Yes. Oh, does Dolly Parton
speak
on her back?
So you've spoken about it already. Sorry. Yes. Okay.
All right. And Mark says, I just threw up in my mouth. Please, Sia, don't sing ever. Oh. Our boys are not small. I was in a lift with 4 of the players this week and was dwarfed by their thighs and legs. Michelle, that's with respect
players
to
what
Ben was saying about our rugby players.
He was saying about the Samoans.
The Samoans.
Was she in the lift with Samoans?
She's saying our players.
Emphasis on our.
I'm so confused.
Okay. Yep.
Ben says, Quentin, do you have more info about Super Rugby teams and the Marvel characters?
It's a bit early to talk about that, surely.
Okay, Damon.
Am I wrong?
Jeepers.
Am I wrong?
Give someone else a chance to talk and we can find out.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's an interesting kind of thing, Quentin. We'll get into it.
I'll never be a guest again. I'm sorry.
But it's like, who's paying who here? Because I doubt Marvel needs Super Rugby for exposure. So I want to know how much the Super Rugby teams are paying for this.
They must be paying a fortune. Can you imagine?
I reckon there's such a... I mean, it's a bit of a stretch to try and get some attention.
Say fuck him, I'm your biggest fan. But you need to go for voice training, Damon. Says Mr. Schmangles.
Oh, I was making a special effort.
Get high on those edible marijuana things and go recording again. You've got big balls for doing this.
Oh, doing what?
I don't know, but there we are.
This is not my first rodeo.
Oh, hang on. Sia.
That's.
It's for you, Sia. It's not for Damon.
Oh.
For Sia.
I'm
your biggest fan, but you need to go for voice training.
So. Shame, man.
Well, people got some honest feedback. Guys, that story in the news with a hidden camera reminds me of a movie called 13 Cameras, the most horrifying B-grade horror movie I've ever seen.
Hmm.
And then Ugu is apparently on the south coast of Durban.
Yeah.
Or the south coast of KZN.
I was wrong.
Yeah. 7 kilograms of coke with those people who were caught smuggling the coke sounds like a really good December, according to Sean.
It was a December.
Yeah,
but not getting locked up for it.
They were arrested.
And Julie just telling us also where Ugu is. So some useful information this morning that we didn't expect to learn. Now you know where Ugu is. If it ever comes up, you know how to deal with that question, right? Oh, Ugu. Yes, of course. South Coast of KZN. All right. It's 7 o'clock.
This is CliffCentral.com.